This is Franciscan Voice, finding God's voice among us.
But I was hoping to hear something about St. Bonaventure, I hear you say, not an endorsement on stargazing. So now for the jaw-dropping link that will make Stanley Kubrick's tumbling bone into spacecraft jump cut in 2001 A Space Odyssey look like amateur hour. Here we go.
Welcome to Four Gospels, Two Friars and a Microphone. Friar Terence in Wexford, Ireland, and Friar Maximilian in Oxford, England, share thoughts and reflections on the Gospels, St. Francis, the Franciscan Way, and more.
Well, welcome to this podcast. Now, it shouldn't take you too long to work out that that this one is actually better titled Four Gospels, One Friar and a Microphone, as for this occasion, I am myself, Friar Max, on my own. Unfortunately, due to the ongoing problems with COVID and travel and so forth, it's not been possible for two of us to get together to make a recording, so sorry folks, you've got to put up with just me for the time being. What I'd like to do is just share with you some thoughts as we're coming into the month of the feast day of Saint Bonaventure, one of our great Franciscan saints. I'd like to share with you just a very brief little bit about the man himself. So here goes. Just by way of introduction to this, from the earliest of ages, I've been an absolute space nut. And anybody who knows anything about me will know this. Anything and everything to do with space flight, the solar system, distant galaxies, I absolutely love it all. Now, I have a cousin who is a lifelong fellow enthusiast. And in conversation one day, he said that he sees humanity generally separate into two groups. Very broad generalisation, but it was one of those kind of conversations. He said those two groups are those who look down at the Earth and those who look out into the depths of space. The former group, he further suggested, tend to look down at the Earth and become sort of engrossed in a very narrow kind of me-first perspective. The peripheral vision is seldom employed, and awareness of needs outside of one's immediate space is often missed. The second group, he put forward, are those who are looking up and outwards. They default to a sense of awe and wonder at what exists outside of the immediate frame of self-reference, and more than that, they are alerted to the smallness and fragility of the environment around them, therefore also to an attentiveness to it and to the needs and requirements of caring for that space and the people within it. So you see, astronomy and cosmology is good for you. It's good for each other and it's good for the planet. Okay, Max, we can tell that you're on your own for this podcast. You're rambling and on a space-bound flight of fancy. Well, of course I am, both alone and on a space-bound flight of fancy, that is. In fact, if it wasn't for concerns about pesky copyright, I'd have a Tangerine Dream album playing in the background to this, believe me. Incidentally, it is hoped, as I was saying at the beginning, that we will get back to having two of us talking again very soon. But I was hoping to hear something about St. Bonaventure, I hear you say, not an endorsement on stargazing. So now for the jaw-dropping link that will make Stanley Kubrick's tumbling bone into spacecraft jump cut in 2001 A Space Odyssey look like amateur hour. Here we go. Saint Bonaventure said, "Since happiness is nothing else than the enjoyment of the supreme good, and the supreme good is above us, no one can enjoy happiness unless he rises above himself. Happiness is looking out." Now, it's not my job here to delve too deeply into the theology of St. Bonaventure. There are people, frankly, way more gifted and skilled than me to do that. I do want to briefly, as I say, introduce you to the man himself, but in order to do so, I do think that it is important to include in that introduction the impression that he makes in me. Theologians tuning in may wince, but this is what I take and continue to explore from this man, so here goes. Looking out is a two-way process, both for us and for God. It is through the spirituality of St. Bonaventure that I have received and continue to contemplate an astounding image of God. God reaches out from God's very self, emanating outwards in pure creating love into the heart and soul of all that God has created. I, the creature, in turn, reach out to God as my entire life, my very soul, reaches out through that same love back into the very heart of God, of love itself. I can also, through God's extreme generosity, personify that two-way journey, because God personified that love in the person of Christ Jesus. Jesus is, for Bonaventure, the crowning moment of creation, the point at which creation this side of eternity became as perfect as it can be for now, because God in Christ has now physically interacted with it. God, born into the flesh of the world and indelibly seared into the soul of us all, thus igniting our deepest desire and purpose to find, as Bonaventure put it, that supreme goodness and happiness that comes from above. So, lest I be accused of not doing it, here's just a little about Bonaventure the man. He was born in the year 1221, nearby to Viterbo in Italy, in a little town called Bagnoregio. And he joined the Order of Friars Minor when he was 20 years old. He was a bright spark, and he made his studies in Paris, eventually going on to teach theology and scripture whilst he was still there. In the year 1257, Bonaventure was elected as Minister General of the Order of Friars Minor. And we can assume that amongst Bonaventure's gifts, his devotion to Francis would have been readily apparent to his fellow friars, hence the election, one assumes. It is almost certain that Bonaventure never met Francis. The years just don't quite square up for that. But in his biography of the saint, Bonaventure does make mention of a serious childhood illness that he had when, quote, "My mother made a vow on my behalf to the Blessed Father Francis. I was snatched from the very jaws of death and restored to the vigour of a healthy life." End quote. Now, in those years, serious illness was nothing trivial, if I can put it that way. To be seriously ill at any age in those days was quite often a one-way ticket to the great beyond. But he recovered, and he saw that as being through those prayers, that intercession of Saint Francis, this powerful saint who was having such an impact on the church and the world, even at that early stage of the order. Actually, at the point Bonaventure was made Minister General of the Order, things were in a little bit of a state. Francis had already become such a charismatic saint that this young order was expanding rapidly and very far and wide. And I guess inevitably this brought many differences of opinion amongst the friars as to how the life should be lived. What does it mean to live a life of simplicity and poverty? How do we mirror that in what we do, the work that we do? Is it okay for us to study, to go to places of learning? Can we live in friaries, in convents, or should we just live under the stars? There were all sorts of different views on this, and people trying to push their particular corner, all hoping to catch that vision of St. Francis. This wasn't people going against each other for anything other than wanting to take that vision of Francis on. And when Bonaventure came to being the Minister General, this order had got itself into a little bit of a pickle as to how they would proceed with that. He travelled extensively and more often than not on foot, and Bonaventure was able to be both a pastor and an organiser. He had the gift of brokering peace amongst all these squabbling factions, and he was well able to bring about a degree of order without hampering that vision of St. Francis to live in the fullness and simplicity of the gospel. So it's with good reason, I think, that Bonaventure has been referred to often as the second founder of the order. Now, throughout his life and ministry, Bonaventure resisted any kind of preferment in the wider church. He actually turned down being made Bishop of York in the year 1265. But he did eventually become Cardinal Bishop of Albano in the year 1273. And among his many duties there, he became quite instrumental in working towards trying to unite the churches of East and West, always seeking to be a peacemaker amongst the people he had his being. Now, legends grow out of true facts very often. Most legends have a little kernel of truth. If you follow a strand effectively enough, you'll find the truth from which it springs. And there's a lovely legend that illustrates the humility of Bonaventure that he most assuredly possessed. And it springs from how, when the papal delegates arrived to present Bonaventure with his lovely cardinal's hat, he was actually midway through washing the dishes, and he asked the delegates to be so kind as to hang the hat up in a nearby tree just until he'd finished. I think that's a lovely story that illustrates the fact that in all humility he was going to accept this office, these responsibilities. But he also saw what was most important around him, and in that particular instance, it was his turn to do the dishes, so he did it. Bonaventure died in the year 1274, on the 15th of July, aged 53. I think that what has survived best of all through his legacy is the awareness that each of us is the sum of all our parts, body, mind, and spirit. We know God because God reaches out to touch us intellectually through our minds, spiritually through our heart and soul, physically through the incarnate word. And all this is located in the person of Jesus Christ. Coming back to my fascination with space, I think what I find most of all in Bonaventure, and most helpful and worthy of my contemplation, is that he has this cosmic awareness and vision of God in Christ, and yet it distills down, it comes down into the everyday, it comes down into the very marrow of our being, so that we can encounter that presence of God and then reach out with our body, mind, and spirit as well to reconnect as Bonaventure would title one of his greatest works. Perhaps it's best to end and put it this way: our life as followers of St. Francis, yes, but as beings in general, is all about the soul's journey into God. I'm aware I probably haven't said massive amounts about this man, but I think it's enough to know just that, that he was somebody who was touched so deeply by this reaching out of God into the very marrow of his life, that he desired not just to make that journey back himself, that more and more people, however, would also come to that knowledge and that awareness. So I hope this has whetted your appetite a little bit for finding out a bit more about St. Bonaventure, and that maybe through the portals of this website, as I say, those with more of a depth of insight who could do justice to his quite often astounding spirituality would be able to guide us through that. So may the Lord give you all peace. And as I say, I hope in the not too distant future, we can get back to being two friars in the midst of four gospels with the one microphone. Take very good care of yourselves and God bless you.
Be sure to subscribe to our podcast and follow us on our website to discover other episodes at franciscanvoice.org.